When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp Inc. Monday, May 13th. Ian Cameron, Brett Skalski back as he is every Monday on the show. And we're pleased to be joined by another great guest joining us here, pro hockey player, many years, about 14 years pro now. Played his college hockey, Miami Redhawks, Miami O, Oxford, Ohio, a great college career, Hobie Baker Award winner in 2011. 14 years pro now, NHL for a little bit, AHL. Over in Europe, Sweden, Russia, currently in Germany. He's been a Rhodes Scholar, if you will. He knows that world map very well, and he's with us here on the show today. Andy Mealy joining us. Andy, good to have you on the Ice Guys show. What's up?
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
No doubt. Before we get into the NHL stuff, as always, first guests, talk about how Andy Mealy got into hockey. The college career at Miami O was outstanding. I know, especially your junior and your senior year there, you absolutely lit it the fuck up. It was absolutely great to see the numbers you put up. I know your team was in the mix to be national champions in those seasons as well. So talk about the how you got into hockey and then that great run in college with Miami of O.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously I grew up in Detroit. So back then, you know, early 90s all the way through the early 2000s, the Wings were dominant. So just having that as kind of your idols as a young kid made it easy to get into hockey. But actually, like, my parents kind of forced me into it at a young age. And then I ended up falling in love with it, watching them, you know, Fedorov, Yzerman.
So when they forced you in, you hated it at the time. You really didn't like it.
I did. I was young, but I didn't like it. My mom would always tell me, she would pin me down and get me dressed, because back then sometimes you get dressed at home.
You're playing hockey, goddammit.
Yeah. You're going to play it and you're going to like it, which ended up being great for me. So, so then, you know, just growing up in that cold weather, you're outdoor on the rinks playing with your buddies and, you know, eating Little Caesar's pizza, and it's just a hard sport to stay away from, and ended up loving it. And, you know, making my way up through the ranks, I was kind of always left behind a little bit. I was always a little bit smaller and a late bloomer. And, I guess I didn't have many options going into college. It kind of came down to Ferris State and Miami of Ohio. And it was a little bit of an easy decision for me, even though, like, a lot of my family members went to Ferris State, but Miami was up and coming, and it's just obviously a great school, and they were building their new arena there. And so it was an easy decision there. And then, 4 years there, junior year and senior year, obviously my best years, but we had great assistant coaches who did great recruiting. And then Rico obviously was a great closer too. So we had so many good players come through that program back then. And, you know, every year we were a contender every year. The 1 year we were probably the worst team was my sophomore year. And that's the year we went to the finals and lost to BU in that heartbreaker. But then, junior, senior year, we just had great teams. We had great power plays. My senior year, I want to say my power play was like 33% or something like that. It was something insane, and it was just so much fun. And it just obviously was a great ending individually, but as a team, unfortunately, we lost in the first round in New Hampshire that year. And but those were some great times back then.
Great times. Yeah, exactly. When you're, hey, you're playing on the college hockey team, you're ripping it up. You're absolutely on fire offensively, and you're in the mix to win the championship. How can you not and look back on those times and think, wow, and Hobey Baker Award winner. How honored were you to win that award?
It was awesome. I mean, what a blessing that was. It was something you don't really think about. Like I never thought that would happen because so much has to go right. And it just wasn't like, it just wasn't in, I didn't think it was in the cards for me. And I remember my junior year, I went to Washington's development camp, and the guy who brought me there told me, he's like, you're my pick for the Hobey next year. And I was like, that's great. I don't see that happening. Wow. And it, you know, we got off to an unreal start, and back then we were in the CCHA, and I don't think there was as much depth in that league back then. So there were some weekends where you had, you know, 8 to 10 points, which was a lot of fun, but yeah, so, you know, you ended up getting it. It was an unbelievable experience. And then now I look back at the shirt and tie that I wore to the pictures there, and I look like such an idiot, and I can't believe it. I always tell my wife, I'm like, why would you let me go to the Hobey Baker ceremony in that shirt and tie? It was so brutal. I never thought that picture would stay with me my whole life, but it does.
Well, that's like I say, I'm not exactly, that's why I keep my dressing very, very simple. I'm not a suit and tie guy. I'm not a dress up guy. Give me a golf shirt, give me a t-shirt, give me some shorts, and maybe a nice little slacks every now and then, but jeans mostly. That's it. That's what you're getting out of this guy, because I want to be comfortable, man. I don't want to be
wrong.
No, exactly. That's what we're
like,
looking for.
It's like your betting, you said. You can't go too big and you can't go too low.
That's exactly it. It's a good parallel to go with in life. There's no doubt. So the time you got into a handful of games with the Coyotes, and the Coyotes were obviously going through some issues at the time as far as performance on the ice. But how much of a thrill was it to get that call and make your NHL debut there with those Coyotes?
That was awesome. You know, and like I said earlier, I think I was a little bit late bloomer, and I think that was kind of part of my pro career too, where they were, like you said, an organization that was struggling a little bit, and they had to win right now. They didn't really have time to develop their prospects at that time. So that probably wasn't the best decision for me to go into outside of college hockey. But at the time, it's like, well, I was the Hobey Baker winner. I'm the best player coming out of college. Like, I'm going to make the team. You know, that's the mindset. But you know, now that I'm a little bit older and the career's over, the North American career's over, you can kind of look back and see the choices that you made, which were right and which were wrong. But it was awesome. I mean, to play in the NHL, it's every kid's dream. That's what you think about growing up. And they always had good guys there in Arizona, very like accepting and hardworking. And back then with the salary cap that team had, and some of the playoff pushes that they made is really impressive under Tippett there. And it was an honor. You know, I wish I was older when I got those experiences so I could appreciate it more, but being able to look back on it and have those memories is amazing and a blessing.
Yeah. And then you spent a few years, obviously AHL with the Red Wings, the Flyers organization, Grand Rapids Griffins, Lehigh Valley Phantoms. Then you made the decision to give Europe a try with Malmo, Swedish Elite League, mostly for your years there. Then you went to the KHL for about 3 or 4 seasons with Torpedo, back in the Swedish League, HV 71. Most recently, the season you just completed, obviously, in Germany, the DEL with Wolfsburg. Like I said to you before that we started the show, we've had, 50, 60 different player guests, and many of them have played in Europe. No one said a bad word about the experience of playing in Europe, and I'm sure you concur with that.
Absolutely. I mean, we love it. Now that we have a family too, and we get to travel while we're over there, so many life experiences that we get to make outside of hockey. I mean, my kids are in a German school and they're learning German, just experiences that you never really would have thought would happen, but they're happening and we're loving it. And the hockey's great over there. You know, you got the Olympic ice, so the game's a little different, but overall every league's a little different. Every league has its pros and cons, and we love it. We don't take anything for granted over there. And now, like as I was telling you earlier, in Germany, there's so many imports. So it's just like almost like an old AHL team over there. And it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of North America. It's very North Americanized, essentially, especially in Germany, the team you're currently playing for. And you're going back there again next season as well with Wolfsburg. And just lastly, on the Andy Mealy career pathway, got to bring up the experience and the opportunity you had a couple of years ago to represent the USA at the Winter Olympics in Beijing. That must have been just an incredible thrill there.
It was. I mean, you know, just to go was such an honor. And then they named me captain, which was an even bigger honor. And it was special. You know, anytime you get to represent your country is such an honor, such a blessing. You know, it's something that I don't take for granted at all. And, you know, after I went there, I was like, well, there's a chance to go again. You know, the NHL guys might not go. And it's like, well, I kind of want to watch the best players in the world compete, but at the same time, it'd be nice to go. And then once it came out that they're back to going, it's kind of like, all right, now we can relax and enjoy hockey again, not have that pressure to try to make the team. And now I'm just looking forward to watching those guys compete on such a big stage. And but it was in Beijing, and they kind of still had the COVID thing going on, but it was still such an awesome experience. And to meet all those athletes at such a high level is so impressive.
Yeah, there's obviously for the major hockey countries that participated, those Olympics, Canada, U.S., Sweden, they were all makeshift rosters, obviously, because of the whole situation that was going on. It was still coming out of the pandemic at the time, but still the opportunity to be able to do that and say I played for the U.S. or I represented my country at the Winter Olympics playing men's hockey. I mean, goes without saying. You probably get the tingles all over your spine, essentially, just thinking about, wow, pretty damn cool, pretty freaking amazing that I got this opportunity to do that. So great career. It's not over yet, too. Andy is going back to Germany next year with Wolfsburg. But as we always do with the players that are on the first time, we do a little surprise here. We go to the vault. We go to the highlight reel, and we find some Andy Mealy highlights from the past. And we got a goal, and we have a fight. He did drop his gloves a handful of times, Andy, as well. He's got that. Was that always a side to you had from the beginning, or did that develop later in life that, hey, I don't mind mixing it the fuck up every now and then?
You know, I've always been small, and I've kind of just had that edge that no one's going to push me around. And, you know, there's times where guys on my team have to stick up for me, and I know absolutely I'm going to have to stick up for them if I expect them to stick up for me. So it's kind of a side that I've always had. I absolutely have picked some of the wrong people to fight for sure. And, but also I've done well in some, so I enjoy it, you know, Detroit kid, kind of part of growing up. It's fun sometimes, as long as you don't get beat up too badly.
No. And like you say, if you don't stick up for yourself, who's going to, you know, exactly. That's something I learned from my folks way back in the day, you know, and look, I have very little meat on the bone, if you will. So, you know, but I'll tell you what, if someone got in my face, my grill, I'd do the best I could and defend myself. That's sometimes the way it's got to be. So the goal that we're going to show you from Andy, this happened, I believe this was with Malmo, his days in the Swedish league. This was the first sojourn he had in Sweden years ago with Malmo, about 6-7 years ago. And I believe this was a game from the CHL, the Champions Hockey League, that took place. And, man, this was one heck of a impressive goal for our guest. And we're going to put it up on the screen right now. Here we go.
Mealy forward. Nice drive back. Mealy still alone. He scores! What a goal! Andy Mealy with some magic.
So just rewind that because it started late. But here it is. Pretty nice. Look, there he is down the wing.
Nice drive back. Mealy still alone. He scores! What a goal!
Look at that. Some Mealy magic. Give me the play-by-play, Mike.
Mealy gathering the puck here and then does the rest himself.
A little dangle.
What a fantastic move. Really contender.
Should have stayed on my feet, though, eh?
To Andy Mealy.
I think the fact that you were falling ass down there on that makes it a more special goal and an even better one, honestly. It gives it that little extra flair at the end, but what are your memories of that one? That was a thing of beauty there.
You know, I'm pretty sure that was, so we were playing a Norwegian team in Norway, and the game wasn't really going as we expected. And I was actually having a pretty bad game, and I was frustrated all game. And then that was with, I think, under 2 minutes left. It just kind of, some of those plays, and I've always said my best plays kind of happen without even thinking about it. And just, the toe drag happened, and before I knew it, I was on top of the goalie, and I just went for it again, and it turned out to be pretty good. And then, obviously, that happening makes the rest of the game go better. So you kind of forget about the 55 minutes that you played horribly.
Even though 55 horrible minutes, but all it takes is 10 seconds to be great sometimes.
And the guy who hugged me there, Rhett Rakshani, he was the one who was, you know, in my ear, like, you know, don't worry, like keep going. And then after, he's like, that's all you had to do, you know, 15 seconds and you're good.
No doubt. That was a good one. And then the fight, believe it or not, the fight that we have found here for Mandy from his past, it was an AHL fight about 8 years ago, I think it was. It's against a guy that's still in the NHL right now. In fact, we just saw him play last night in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Here we go. We're going to roll the footage here. This is Andy dropping the gloves, dropping the mitts, AHL years ago. Here we go. You got it. Right, ding, line, ding, ding. We have a winner.
Shot of that off the leg. Up for Dune, wide and around behind the net. As nailed in the back.
You're with Lehigh Valley.
Penalty coming up. Yeah. Now we got Rodriguez and Mealy. They're going to drop the gloves. Boy, you don't expect to see these two guys are going to tee it up. They lock horns. Rodriguez reaching in. Mealy has his right arm loose. Trying to get over the top. Looking to sneak one in. Rodriguez with the right. There's Mealy over the top with the right. Knock Rodriguez's helmet off. And they go down. The linesman will jump in.
5'8", John.
Gets me itching to play again.
The decision goes to Andy Mealy on that one. Very nice. Very impressive. Yeah, you got the takedown. You know, you're right, and you just saw just in that clip, you know, you were undersized in a lot of situations, and, you know, to be able to, like I say, have no fear, do that when the time required it, well done.
Thank you.
There you go. Evan Rodriguez, who, of course, we saw last night with the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup playoffs against the Boston Bruins. So there you go. There's a little Andy Mealy highlight reel for you. By the way, I should point out, I'm obviously Canadian. I'm with two Americans here. I've got to point it out, though, and the American hockey is on the verge of something huge now these next few years. They are building something strong. They have got such a great young core to build around, and there's more great American players in the pipeline, in the college and in the junior ranks right now. It's very impressive. It's very scary. As a someone that will be cheers, obviously, for Canada, being from this country, that I'm worried about the States. I really am. I'm worried in a lot of different areas about how tough as fuck they are going to be to be moving forward. Brett, what do you I feel I'm right on the money with this. Like the States are on the come right now as far as an international country in international play. It's going to be a force to be reckoned with in the years to come.
It feels like it's been a couple of years coming too, right? Yep. Just every year you're seeing more USHL college guys getting drafted in the higher rounds, where not so many major junior guys are getting drafted as historically. So it's definitely coming. It's been coming for a few years. Guys like Matthews, Tkachuk, both Tkachuks for that matter, right? There's a good group going, and it'll be really exciting. Like when Andy said
Paige Thompson, yeah, there's
when another. We have best on best with the NHL guys again, that should be like unreal to watch.
I would actually say you guys goaltending wise, you know, Canada's got concerns. Yeah. Who the fuck's Canada turning to? Is like that's our bona fide for sure number one goaltender. Whereas for the States, you could go to Ottinger, you can go to Hellebuck. I know Hellebuck had his trouble in the playoffs again. Yeah. But still, he's a good goalie. I mean, they've got, I think, more options, more solidified options right now than even we do as far as netminding is concerned.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. What's your guys' thoughts on the rumors going around that some major junior players could end up playing college hockey after?
I think college hockey's on the rise. I've kind of felt this way for the last 2 years, that you're going to see more kids, you know, in that age bracket start to say, you know what, college hockey is going to be the route for me. It was always for all the years, the majority of the big time prospects are playing WHL, OHL, QMJHL north of the border here in Canada. But it's amazing how many now are saying, no, we're going to go the college route. And yeah, but college hockey is
definitely awkward now with having the NIL in college hockey. And now the major junior guys can say the argument, well, they're getting paid somehow, why can't we?
Right.
That's true. There's also talks of after, you know, 3 or 4 years of major junior, you're going to be eligible for college hockey. It's like it's a new thing that's being talked about. I don't love it. I think it's going to take away a lot of those third, fourth line college guys who that was their dream, you know, because now a college is like, well, this guy's been playing major junior for 3-4 years. Why don't I bring him over? Yeah, it'll be great for Canadians, that's for sure. Not so great for Americans.
No. But I think, like I said, college hockey is I watch it every year. I follow it every year. Yeah. It's definitely make a point of I was watching all those the conference tournaments and in the college hockey even before we got to the main NCAA tournament for college hockey. But you see just the group of players, like look at the number one overall pick this year played college hockey, didn't play OHL or didn't play in Canada in the CHL, Macklin Celebrini out of Boston U. And that's just one of dozens that you're all of a sudden seeing, especially in this year's draft class, last year's draft class too, where college hockey is where they plied their trade more so than the junior. And that U.S. National Team Development Program too, that's the best friggin' thing they ever did for developing American hockey south of the border. This U.S. National Team Development Program has been just an absolute beacon, you know, to really develop these players and really get more of an involvement with young kids in hockey. It's been, and that's why that's part of the reason why that pipeline, and you're seeing it pay dividends now for years to come, guys. This U.S. These U.S. national teams, you know, international level and certainly junior level too.
Yeah. I mean, I watched a couple of the playoff games for college, and I could not believe how much skill was in that game. I mean, it was every single guy on the ice. It was crazy.
No, it is. And the level of skill, you're right, it's just amazing. And it's funny, we're just pumping the American tires when we see that he lost, apparently, earlier today to Slovakia in the World Hockey Championship. Really? But maybe we need to pump the brakes a little bit with the praise, but no, they're fine. I mean, this is not true best on best. And I know the Europeans, Andy, you know that well, I'm sure, playing there. They get into the World Hockey Championship, but it's not the true blue assessment of, you know, the best on best and the best, you know, team. It's just whoever you can cobble together that's not playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs and put that together as a roster for the World Championship.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was fortunate enough to play in that tournament twice. And, you know, every team has, you know, a couple high-end NHL guys, but they're the ones not in playoffs, like you said. And it's good hockey, but it's not best on best.
No, exactly. There's no doubt. But I still love the World Hockey Championship. And again, you're still getting great players and good rosters. You just can't pick, you know, every single player you would if it was the only game in town. If the NHL doesn't shut down for the World Hockey Championship like it would for the Olympics, where you'll get the absolute, you know, you'll be able to pick your absolute best roster, put your absolute best roster on the ice and go at war with that as far as an international tournament is concerned. All right, let's talk some playoffs, some Stanley Cup playoffs. Last night we had two games. It was a very good betting night overall for yours truly. It started with Boston and Florida, and, you know, that's two days in a row on the show where I decided I'm going to do something different here. We're going to bet these games a different way. It was Carolina Rangers Saturday night where I took Carolina to score a goal in the first period. Carolina minus a half a goal, plus 165, which is Carolina to lead after the first period. And they did. They were up 3-1 after the first period on Saturday night. But then I also took Rangers pregame team total over 2.5. Sure enough, down 3-1, they came back and tied it. So they ended up cashing that. The full game went over the 5.5 total. So I had a script in mind and a game flow in mind, and we cashed every bet in that game. It was just sometimes you're going to have a great read on it, and sometimes you won't. There's been times, you know, I didn't expect this team to have the fast start. I expected the opponent. But Saturday night, we nailed it, and last night, we nailed it. We said Boston down 2-1. They've got to come out strong. They got to get that first goal. They did. David Pastrnak on the power play to make it 1-0. Then they added the Brandon Carlo goal. That guy is a tall friggin' son of a gun, by the way, that Brandon Carlo. He's a tall guy. 2-0 for the Bruins after the first period. But then I said on the show, if they do have the lead after the first period and they have that red hot start, I'm going to be interested in betting Florida live on the money line. And they were around plus 300 at that time. And I said, because I just feel this team always gets stronger as the game goes on. And I don't know if I trust Boston to generate enough offense consistently to pull away after getting that early lead. And sure enough, you know, in the second period, they didn't generate much. You know, again, the shots on goal dwindled, Florida tightened up. Florida was able to get, obviously, their opportunities. They got it to 2-1 going into the third period. And then the next thing you know, Florida's tying the game and then taking the lead on a beautiful Alexander Barkov goal. He's been awesome in these playoffs, especially in this round, to go up 3-2, and the Panthers come back and they win. Now let's talk about the controversy. This series fucking fascinates me with the fan bases right now. It really, truly does. You have one set of you've got one team with a coach, players, and a fan base that thinks one thing about some of the incidents that are taking place during this series. And then you've got it in Boston. And then you've got another fan base, coach, and players with Florida that think completely different about it. And the two incidents are obviously the Bennett and Marchand incident from obviously game three, where we saw clearly on the TNT revealed another angle where there was definitely a clear right hand thrown by Sam Bennett. But Boston says that's a punch to our captain. There should have been some kind of supplement. There should have been a penalty and certainly maybe some supplemental discipline handed down on Sam Bennett for that. And then the Florida coach and players and fan base is saying, well, guess what? That was in retaliation to something that happened earlier in the game when Marshawn, you know, got a Florida Panther player apparently dinged up and injured at the time. And they were responding to that. So it's just amazing how you hear one, description of what transpired from the Boston side of things, and then a completely different description of what transpired from the Florida side of things. And then last night, as if we didn't have enough to deal with that incident, another incident involving Sam Bennett occurs last night, where somehow that goal is allowed to stand, even though that looked like goaltender interference to me, just based on the fact that now Florida is saying that it was such a small push by Coyle that it shouldn't have negated the ability of Jeremy Swayman to make the save. But at the end of the day, the push got, you know, him knocked into obviously a Jeremy Swayman there. And then the next thing you know, Bennett's able to put it into the empty net there pretty much. So the way you see it here with the Bruins, and based on the funny thing is the explanation of what the Toronto Review Center determined was, there wasn't an enough egregious contact for it to be disallowed. But the rule book, okay, that's the rule book that you're supposed to adhere to. It says that any contact whatsoever, you know, from an attack, from basically an attacking player to a defending player that hurts the goaltender's ability to make the save, the goal should be disallowed. So if you follow the rule book by the letter of the law, word for word, then it probably shouldn't have been a goal. But somehow it was allowed to stand. I know the Bruins fans, a lot of them are just tired of the officiating now these last two games for not giving Bennett anything for the Marchand hit that knocked out their captain, for the, obviously that goal being allowed to stand last night. No goalie interference. A goal that was critical, obviously, as far as the end result of the game is concerned, because that tied it up 2-2, and then, of course, Florida ended up winning 3-2. So I get that frustration. I have to admit, though, it is amusing watching how it's playing out as far as the fan bases, where one thinks totally different about these two incidents and one thinks the other, the total opposite about these two incidents. And I got to admit, I think Paul Maurice is kind of, you know, trying to, you know, bury his head in the sand or trying to say, hey, they got it right. They got it right. When I think deep down inside, he may think otherwise. But the way he was with the media last night, I mean, it was actually hilarious to me. I think now the Boston people think he was condescending. He's totally oblivious to what really should have transpired, which was no goal. He's seeing things wrong as far as the incident with Bennett and Marchand. You can't see the forest from the trees with any of this shit. You know, that is what the Bruins fans are saying right now. But the way he was to the media last night was, I don't know, I found it hilarious. I mean, it was just, you know, he was basically saying, I can see your foreheads throbbing. You know, I can see it, you know, and tell, I can see that pain in your face over what happened last night. So Paul Maurice, I'm telling you right now, he is a cerebral man. Andy, I've said this a bunch of times on the show. Brett, yes, I've said it. You know that. I think the world of Paul Maurice and his press conferences. I think he's so forthtelling. You know, he just gives you so much. He's very, very smart, very well spoken. And But I think last night that was an epic A-plus fucking troll job. Yeah. That's what that was by Palm. That was him trolling the media last night. And he took great pleasure knowing that Bennett didn't get shit for what happened with Marshawn, knowing that that goal was allowed to stand. When I think deep down inside, he probably thinks that could have been and maybe should have been goal in it, but he'll never say that, of course, publicly, because it went his way. But the fact that he went and then he's trolling the media saying, look at the pain and look at that. And then he was talking to Wyshynski, I believe, claiming, hey, you're from Brooklyn, be on the side of the Bruins. Then he said something about, well, you're from Brooklyn. Wait till we play the Rangers in the next round. You know, hopefully I don't have to see you now. And he's just going on and on just with the troll job on the media. And then he says something at the end in the press conference where he basically says, I have my interpretation of it. The injury that happened before the Bennett Marchand incident, I think you guys didn't see that. You guys got it wrong. And I think that's how I see it. That's my opinion on it. Then he says, just to throw a little more gasoline on things. He took great pleasure, Paul Maurice, in just stoking the fires and trolling the fuck out of the media last night. He took great pleasure in it. He loved it. He knew what he was doing. It was calculated. He is, but that's Paul Maurice. He is a smart son of a gun. He's one of those guys that he was always reminding me of, one of those guys that would call you on the phone and try to sell you down the river with this great, unbelievable, incredible offer that you can't refuse. Like one of those snake oil salesmen. Like basically he sounds so smart and he speaks so well that you buy it. You buy the shit. You buy the garbage. And that's exactly what it sounded like with Paul Maurice last night. He's just so well spoken. It's like, yeah, Paul, you're right. You know, you're just such a smooth talker, if you will. And that's how it came across. But he was, if you haven't seen it, check it out. That press conference with Paul Maurice last night. It was an epic troll job.
Yeah, I got to watch it. I didn't see it, but I love listening to him talk.
No doubt. Andy, what did you think of that game and that series overall? First of all, one last thing I'll say, and then I'll throw it to Andy here. That's not the sole reason the Bruins lost that game last night were the calls. Let's be real. They got outshot heavily. They had a million grade A chances that they couldn't bury any of them when they got the 2-0 lead. That's number one. Number two, look, Florida made good on their opportunities, and you got to contain Barkov better. You know, on that game-winning goal, he basically goes through the neutral zone, makes a move, rips at top cheese past Swayman. You know, you got to make some better defensive plays than that if you're Boston to preserve the win. They couldn't do it. Let's give Florida their marks. And let's be real, since game one, Florida's been the better team in the series here the last three games. So, yeah, we can be upset about the refereeing, but I also can't stand when the fan base says we're only losing this series at all, including especially 3-1 because of the officiating. I can't listen to that. I can't tolerate that. I cannot deal with that. I won't. You know, that's not the only reason the Bruins are down. Florida has been very good, and you couldn't capitalize and put your foot on the fucking throat of the Panthers up 2-0 because you had chance after chance, couple posts, couple failed opportunities in close. You couldn't put it away. Florida has been better these last three games. Andy, what do you think of that series and last night's game?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're pretty spot on with that. Sometimes it's easy to make excuses when things aren't exactly going your way, and sometimes other teams just the better team. But when we were at a friend's house last night celebrating Mother's Day, and we turned on the game, and I think it was 2-1, and Boston was almost getting outshot at that point, double, and all the boys were like, "Put some money on Florida, put some money on Florida." I don't think anyone did, but. And then when we were all watching, when we were all watching that Bennett goal, it was kind of like split down the middle. Like some guys are like, "Yeah, that's a good goal." Some guys are on the opposite side, and I didn't think it was going to be called a good goal. And I think the fact that it was Bennett hurt even more for everyone in Boston, because just as a player, everyone that plays against him hates him. And then between the punch to Marchand's face and then that, it's just. I can only imagine how much it's grinding everyone in Boston and the Bruins players. But I mean, he's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing out there. And you got to kind of love to see that as a hockey fan. Florida's, they're going to be hard to beat. I mean, they got everything. They got grit. They can score. They defend. I mean, they got great goaltending. Like I don't see Boston coming out of this series, but I mean, it's hockey. You never know. You can get some crazy bounces.
No question about that. Here it is. I wanted to get this up on the screen. This is in the rule book. This is in the official NHL rule book about that Bennett goal that was allowed to stand last night in the game. This is the actual rule. If a defending player has been pushed, shoved, or fouled by an attacking player so as to cause the defending player to come into contact with his own goaltender, such contact shall be deemed contact initiated by the attacking player for purposes of this rule, and if necessary, a penalty assessed to the attacking player, which of course is in this case is Sam Bennett. And if a goal is scored, it would be disallowed. So my issue is, and I understand, this is the part where I understand why some of the Bruins fans are upset, because you've turned your rule book into a joke. You know, this is supposed to be a rule book that is adhered to 100% of the time, not 50% of the time, not 60% of the time, 100% of the time, because it's in the rule book. And yet in this situation, the replay center in Toronto was allowed to say, well, you know what? This was a little bit different, this particular scenario, where it was just such a light push that we can't take this goal off the board, that they amended basically the call, even though it goes against what their own rule book says. That's the part where it's hard to reconcile with that, especially if you're a Bruins fan.
And you can't necessarily say light push because, I mean, if you're not expecting to get hit from behind, like you can't, you're just not expecting it. So whether it's a light push or a hard push, it's still a hit from behind that you're not expecting, which is now the outcome is a goal. But
it is. Like I said, it's going to be interesting. This series has had so many storylines, and there's this Bennett, call last night, the Bennett-Marchand incident that's taken the Bruins captain out of the equation. But the bottom line is Boston, I know that's frustrating. I'm sure they're frustrated. They had a 2-0 lead last night. They should be just as frustrated about that as in, not just the call, but they should be just as frustrated, if not more, about that. They had a 2-0 lead after the first period and couldn't bring that game home. And now, because of that, they're facing elimination tomorrow night, game 5 down in Sunrise, Florida. But, Brett, you and I won't complain. From a betting standpoint, that was a brilliant game for us. Profits, and I know you did well with that game, right?
Yep. And, of course, we cashed in on the Sam Bennett goal scorer, villain in Boston.
Of course he's
going
to score when everyone's hating on him and he's getting ripped.
Of course we cashed that.
For taking out the captain, Brad Marchand. He was plus 370 to score a goal last night. So 100 on that would pay you 370. $10 would pay you $37. On it. It's a nice chunk of change
for him specifically,
Bennett.
For those, it is surprising that there was no punishment after that Marchand incident, because when you saw that reverse angle from above the benches, it was pretty clear.
That's definitely a right hand rabbit punch. It's not like an overhand, but it's a rabbit punch. He got a shot in there. Yeah,
there's
enough to drop.
He took his hand off his stick to do it, and then after, you see him turn, look around. All right, no penalties called. I'm going to finish my line change.
And he was spaghetti leg too, Marchand, after that, taking that punch. You saw him. He could struggle to get to the bench. He could barely, couldn't stand up, fell down again. You could tell that buckled him, as it probably would anybody.
Like you guys are saying, though, Florida is the better team. Florida has been the better team throughout all of these games. The only argument I will say with that goal last night is that, watching the replay, Charlie Coyle's already on top of Swayman before he gets cross-checked. So maybe that's the factor in saying, Swayman wasn't going to get across anyway because Coyle was already there, and the cross-check just means nothing.
That's so the take away the cross-check. Coyle's presence in the, right where
he's already there and going to prevent Swayman.
Yeah, we're not going to prevent Bennett from getting
that. That's the only argument I can see.
Right. Yeah. And that's the way Florida is spinning it as well. And not just that, but that the contact with Bennett and Coyle was very, very minimal. And then Boston saying, clear cross-check right into him.
Yeah. And so, I don't know what minimal is. Like Andy said, when you're not expecting it, even the smallest touch can throw you off. So it is what it is. But
at the end of the day,
I think it's a hole to dig out of now. Yeah. Going down in Sunrise, that ain't going to be an easy game.
Yeah. Do you have any love for these fan bases? Like, you have no dog in this fight, right, Andy? Boston, Florida?
I like to see smaller markets. Now that I'm down south, I like to see, Florida and Dallas and Carolina.
Nashville.
I like to see those do well, but I also want to see the best teams compete.
Yeah.
But I'll just say, where's the line going to be now for reffing? Like, each team is going to be losing their mind when there's a missed call now after something like that.
There's just going to get... there's no cut and dried goalie interference in this league. There's not. And this is a problem. There is no rhyme or reason between one situation being called a goal or not and another. It's almost like a different referee crew could see a certain goalie interference play like that as a goal, and you could get another crew and another head official and or another replay center, you know, team in Toronto, and they could see, well, that's no goal now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, even though it's the same play. You know, that's the problem.
They send the Toronto sends out the email to all the coaches and the press after a video review with an explanation.
Yeah.
And I know it was tweeted like last night by one of the Boston reporters.
Right.
It's the most broad, bland, non-specific explanation ever. It just says, yeah, this was reviewed. It's considered a good goal. It's like no reason why it's a good goal, anything like that. So it is definitely causing more confusion about goalie interference.
Well, we'll throw it up there because there it is. Video review supported the referee's call on the ice that the shove by Florida Sam Bennett on Charlie Coyle and the subsequent contact with Jeremy Swayman did not prevent Swayman from playing his position in the crease prior to Bennett's goal. So there we go. Even though, again, like I said, the rule book says that any contact whatsoever, you know, and the goal comes off the board. So it's a look, there's got to be synchronicity between the rule book, and there's got to be clear cut. This is goalie interference in this situation 100% of the time, or it's not goalie interference in this situation 100% of the time. We don't have that in this league right now. That's where the competition committee has to step in the offseason and say, we got to do something about this shit because there's way too much inconsistency right now.
Yeah, that explanation does nothing for me.
No. Like, does that make it any clearer in your mind? It certainly doesn't fucking do that in my mind right now. There's no question. So the bottom line is, though, Florida's up 3-1. Boston's got to play better in a 60-minute game. Andrew asking, yes, Andy's a Detroit guy. So there we go. Andrew to Andy. There we go. He is a Detroit guy, indeed, from the Michigan area. And then the other game last night was Edmonton-Vancouver. We've got ourselves a situation here. You would have said to me before the series started, Archer Shelobs, the Latvian, is going to outplay Skinner, Stuart Skinner, for the Edmonton Oilers. I wouldn't have believed it. But here we are, and it's become a story that there's two things for Vancouver. Number one is their five-on-five play in this series has been better than Edmonton. Edmonton is living too much on the power play. There is no question. Andrew, oh, look at that. Not only did he ask you from Detroit, he's from the same town you mentioned there, Andy. Gross point.
Nice.
Yes. Way to go. So there you go, from the same town. Awesome. One of our viewers and, of course, Andy. Good stuff. So, yeah, Vancouver's been better at 5-on-5 in this series. There's no question. Edmonton's living too much on the power play. Granted, last night we did see, of course, Edmonton put on a big push in the third period. But as so many people pointed out when they asked Rick Tocchet after that huge victory last night for the Canucks, 4-3 over the Oilers to take a 2-1 series lead, you know, even though they gave up a ton of shots in the third, you know, I think Edmonton had over 20 shots, 22-3 or something in the third period. But they said they only gave up Vancouver one high danger chance out of those 20 plus shots. So that's the thing. Shots on goal, you read that and you're like, well, what an absolute robbery this was that Edmonton lost this game. Well, hold on now. The 20 plus shots, they gave up one danger chance, you know, in that whole third period. So what Vancouver did was, first of all, they got warriors on this team to block shots. And it's not just the defensemen. I'm seeing JT Miller and Brock Besser. These are stars of the team, scorers on the team that are committing to the defensive side of the puck and blocking shots in critical times for this team. Nikita Zadorov, a million shot blocks. Tyler Myers, the chaos giraffe, as he's called with the Vancouver Canucks. They called him that when he was struggling. I think we got to cool it with that now. Cool it with that a little bit. He's playing well. And last night he was a pillar of strength on that blue line for the Vancouver Canucks, playing a lot of minutes, blocking a ton of shots. I didn't see any egregious defensive mistakes from him. And look, they kept most of Edmonton's chances to the outside, and the chances they did get that were on the inside part of the ice and in the crease area, right in the blue paint. Artur Shelovs was there to make the saves. He was outstanding, and quite honestly, he's played better than Skinner in this series, flat out. I mean, Skinner, 4 goals on 15 shots last night. Chris Knobloch made the decision to, I don't know if this is going to be, well, we're pulling Skinner in the third period tonight. Calvin Pickard's going to be our goalie moving forward. But I think he is going to consider what he's going to do in game four. He did not commit to Stuart Skinner after the game in the press conference. So there, this is definitely up in the air about who's Edmonton going to turn to in game four. A lot of people seem to think it'll be Stuart Skinner again. He's been your guy. He played well in the second half of the season. You got to live and die by his play in net. But I don't think it's going to be an easy decision, you know, based on the way he's played in this series. And you know, like I said, Edmonton's power play has been what's kept them afloat. Many of their goals have been on the man advantage. But the way Vancouver has dug in there, hung in there, you know, as the flow of play in the third period, the last two games gone against them, yes, but they have hung in there. While they've given up shots, they haven't given up a plethora of high-danger chances. And Artur Shelovs has been there when they have given up those chances. So it's a great win for Vancouver, and it's particularly a great win, guys, because I had Vancouver last night. I thought plus 170 as an underdog last night. What did I see in the first two games that said to me that Edmonton should be a minus 200 favorite over Vancouver with the way the first two games went? You mean that to me was just way too high of a price. That was a big reason why I took Vancouver last night. I just felt the flow of the first two games, it's not one that tells me Edmonton's minus 200 better than Vancouver right now, regardless of where the game is being played. So that was a great game. We had the first period. The over trifecta came through over 1.5 in the first period, which is hitting every game in this series. Same with the full game over, 6.5 with the 4-3 final. So it was a wonderful betting result. And, of course, how can we forget, bargain bin special of the night. And what that is, Andy, since this is your first time on the show, the bargain bin special of the night is the segment, and you'll see it later, where we pick a player prop of plus 300 or better that we like the most. It's like a big plus money player prop. And mine last yesterday on the show was Matthias Ekholm for the Edmonton Oilers to score a goal at plus 700. And sure enough, he got the first goal for the Edmonton Oilers last night. And that's now three straight games in this series with a goal for the Swedish Viking, as we like to call him, Matthias Ekholm, with that big, thick beard. He's played awesome. He's jumped into the play offensively, and it was freaking awesome to cash that last night, plus 700 with Matthias Ekholm to find the back of the net for the Edmonton Oilers last night. So just a great betting result for me. And that whole series, the first three games, have been really, really good hockey, very entertaining. And it's still anyone's series, but as of right now, the Canucks have the 2-1 series lead. Andy, what's your thoughts from that game and that series overall, the all-Canadian matchup?
You know, I honestly haven't watched too much of that series, but I'm a big Tocchet fan, and I think
you and many on the East Coast, because you're right, they've been late starts. Yes.
Yeah, and he like as a player was awesome, and as a coach, you know, I spent a little time with him at camp in Arizona, and even though that's he never true, called right? me up that yeah. season, I was still a big fan of him. And he's going to have his players dialed, his players ready to go. And like you said, seeing guys like JT Miller block shots, like that comes from coaching. You know, if you don't have respect for your coach, then you're not going to be putting yourself in those positions. And I think that says a lot for Tocchet. And I just, it's hard for me to jump on the Edmonton wagon. I don't know what it is. You know, I don't watch them enough, but I don't think they're a complete team. I think they rely heavily, like you said, on the power play and they're two big dogs, which they're amazing players. And, but I don't see them going super far in playoffs. And, seems like Vancouver's being pretty hard on McDavid. Was that like, I don't know, even know what to call it. Double cross check. Was that last night?
Well, that's I did not mention it yet, and you're right, I should have. Right at the end of the game, Vancouver, right after the final horn, 4-3, McDavid ends up involved with Zadorov and Carson Soucy for the Vancouver Canucks. And McDavid definitely slashes, and I mean a vicious slash, toward Soucy before. And then at that time, I think Zadorov saw that and decided to cross check to the back from behind, but simultaneously, or just I think he had already decided I'm going to cross check McDavid behind Zadorov in the back, but he had already decided, Susie, I'm going to cross-check him too. And because Zadorov cross-checked McDavid in the back and he was going down, it ends up being that Susie's cross-check hits him right in the mouth, right in the yap.
Like, it looked pretty bad.
Right in the teeth. And it looked very bad. And he's, by the way, having a phone hearing as we speak, Carson Susie, for the Vancouver, for the cross-check right to the face, to the teeth, basically, of Connor McDavid. I think he's going to get some kind of suspension, some kind of sussy, one game, two games. I think he's probably going to get something for that at the end of the day. But look, Susie and Zadorov, bad. You know, bad moves. You know, that was pretty vicious for Zadorov, just to the back like that. And then for Susie, you know, pile on with the cross-check to the face and to the mouth. That's pretty bad, too. But let's not act like McDavid was an angel here, either.
Right.
No, he slashed pretty viciously there, Susie, after the whistle. So, and it looked like he made the first move, McDavid, you know, basically to slash Susie after the whistle. Frustrated, obviously, that he lost. Yeah. The team couldn't tie it there at the end. So he's not, and there's not a halo around fucking Connor McDavid's head.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination.
It's Connor McDavid, so I'm sure he's going to get the better end of it. But I mean, if you're going to do something like that, you got to know something's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's, you don't think when you whack someone, someone's not going to be coming from behind to grab you or do something? I think you got to be ready for something. And it's funny in Europe, because there's a lot of North Americans that play over there. Someone will whack someone or punch someone after a whistle or something, and they think nothing's going to happen to them. And then you got these North Americans who played in North America their whole life, grab them and beat them up, and then they get suspended. And it's like, well, you got to, like, you can't do that. It's like the schoolyard. If you're going to punch someone in the face, you're going to get punched back. It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen. The problem is Zadorov, you know, maybe push him or shove him, or just push him a little bit and that, or even if you just want to, you know, give him a little shot with your fist, even if you're Susie, but that's the worst thing you could have done.
That was worst case scenario.
Right to the face. Because it happened to McDavid, because it was after the whistle too. It's also, when did it happen? It happened after the whistle. The game was already over. You know, it's not like it happened during the course of the play. I think that's probably going to end up going against Carson Susie as well. And it's probably going to, like I said, one or two games.
I was going to say, and the miss on Bennett and Marshawn.
Yeah.
Because now they're under the spotlight. Now they're under a spotlight. Their
safety department to, like, act this time.
Now they're under the magnifying glass. Yeah. So, and that, I think that's going to be big for Edmonton. Because Susie and Tyler Myers have been playing that line, Connor McDavid's line, really, really well, 5-on-5. Yeah. So you eliminate him. Now
the guy they don't like is Ian Cole, Canucks fans. They're not happy with the way he's played in this series.
Frees him up.
Yeah.
But
that's the thing. They'd miss him. They got him for the playoffs, Brett. He's played well for the most part, Carson Susie.
That's gonna free up McDavid a little bit more, and just when they need it. So that could be a big loss depending on what happens. And going back to your Stuart Skinner, they need to go with Picard, I think, because they're not even getting
starting game four.
They're not even getting average goaltending right now. And this is the same thing that happened to Jay Woodcroft last year. He kept going back to Skinner, going back to Skinner. He's got a worse goal save percentage this postseason than last postseason.
Yep.
He's proven he can't handle the playoff spotlight. So if you put Pickard in there and get average goaltending, you're in a better place.
There you go. So there's a vote from Brett Skalski to go to Calvin Pickard in game four. Now, I can't grade Calvin Pickard's performance in game three because he didn't face any shots, basically. No. There was just, Vancouver was hanging on. They didn't generate much of anything. So it's hard to say that, Calvin Pickard played great. He just didn't have any shots to deal with for the most part. So there's still, jury is out what we're going to get from him in game four. But you've seen enough, to Brett's point about Skinner, you know, is that we've seen enough out of him that, it's hard to have confidence putting him back in there. You know,
the one game they won, he still gave up 3 goals on 18 shots.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good.
No, it's not. It's not. Look, there's a valid argument to make the switch. There's no doubt. My only concern is, here's my issue. My issue is not replacing Skinner. It's that Pickard's the guy that you're replacing him with. Like, if you had Laurent Brossoit, backing up Skinner in Edmonton right now, I wouldn't hesitate. I would not hesitate to go to Brossoit in game four. But Pickard, Pickard's been around the block. We know what he is. I mean, he's okay, you know, but maybe okay is better than what you're getting right now. So that's the problem. It's not that Skinner shouldn't be replaced. He's made a very strong case that he should be replaced because he just hasn't been good enough, flat out. It's that Pickard's the guy that you've got to go to replace him.
Yeah.
That's the tough one.
Maybe because, yeah, you know, you put him in, you get some average goaltending, yeah, but it just gets a different energy in the lineup too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. John Massey had some good points in the chat too. Yeah, exactly. They were getting sliced apart Edmonton with some of these great passing plays Vancouver was making. There's no.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
Question. All right, let's get to tonight's games. We have two tonight in Monday night action. We'll begin with game five. Do or die again for the Hurricanes. They avoided a sweep on Saturday. We'll see if they can extend the series back to Kakalaki. For game six, we've got -110 both sides, so pretty much an even money price here in game five tonight. The total 5.5 here in this game with the Rangers and the Hurricanes. You know, this will be interesting. Can the Rangers put their foot down and end the series tonight against the Hurricanes? Again, game four, it went to perfection with the early call on Carolina as far as them, you know, getting on the board early, getting the lead early. I think for me, again, tonight, if I'm looking at Carolina in this game, I'm more inclined to look at a first period once again here tonight rather than the full game, because we have seen evidence, and we saw it even in game four, even though they lost, where the Rangers got better. They battled back from a 3-1 deficit. They tied it in that game. So I'm going to go back to the well with Hurricanes to score a goal in the first period again. This time with the puck line, I'm not as giddy about it because I think the Rangers now have to come back with a better start. Peter Laviolette said it after Saturday's loss that, you know, we just gave them too many good looks and we weren't sharp. It's not that we were full of ourselves, that we're up 3-0. You know, it's just we weren't sharp, and they were early in that game. So I think there's probably going to be an onus on the Rangers, you know, to maybe get on the board early. I'm still going to take Carolina to score in the first period in this game. It's been a good angle, you know, especially a team facing elimination or a team off a loss. Carolina's off a win, but I'd still look in that way. I think first period, both teams to score. Chris Otto, you're right, because I think the Rangers have a chance to get on the board early this time around. I think there's a chance. We saw it in game one. Both teams did score. Game went over in the first period. So this might be a little over trifecta. Again, I worry that we get tightened up, you know, with now the Rangers trying to close it out, and Carolina might be looking to maybe tighten up defensively a bit. But the way I see it is the Carolina Hurricanes still are having a trouble in their own zone defending the Rangers, especially on the power play. And look, for as bad as the Carolina power play's been, it was atrocious. It's been killing them in this series. It finally came through when they needed it to the most. In game four, when that game was tied late in the third period, the Brady Shea point shot on the power play beats Shesterkin, and they finally get a power play goal. I'm not going to say the floodgates are going to open now for the Carolina power play, but you know how it works, Andy. We talk about this all the time. Player that goes 20 games without scoring, and then he finally scores and the floodgates open. Then he gets like five goals in the next six games. Maybe that's the Carolina power play now, because we know it's a good power play. They finally scored their first power play goal of the series in game four. Maybe that can get them going here tonight. So I, more than anything, I like over trifecta and Carolina to score in the first period, which I'll add on a little bit. And then we'll see where things stand in the third period, because this is an elimination game. And if the New York Rangers are leading in the third period, we'll bet a live over, because we know that Carolina's got to open things up. Rod Brind'Amour is going to have to pull the goaltender, Frederik Andersen, early, you know, season on the line, maybe with 5-6 minutes to go in the third. We could see the goalie pulled, and that can open up the floodgates for a late third period goal scoring explosion. So if the Rangers are leading in the third, we'll be looking at a live over wager at some point tonight. And this is an angle we've talked about consistently in these elimination games. But Brett, we'll start with you. What do you like? Game five, Canes Rangers.
Yeah, I'm on the same page as you. I'm on the over trifecta. First period over is 3-1 in the series, 4-0 at MSG this year. Both teams have scores 3-1. I think Carolina comes out knowing that their backs are against the wall, and the Rangers are gonna match that intensity back at home at MSG. So I think they can get on the board too to make it both teams to score. The over 5.5, I think it will start, and then I'm counting on that third period over to push that full game over the line.
Bree, I think that's the way it could go. It could be one of these first period, there's some goals. Second period, it dies down a little bit.
Yeah,
and third then period, the third period especially if the Rangers are ahead in a game they're looking to close out the series, that's when you could see the goals start to flood in, and Carolina would have no choice but to pull the goalie.
And I know, I was going to say, I know you're going to get to the player props, but obviously we're on Zibanejad assist. 14 straight games with an assist.
And
Alexi Lafreniere with a point. He's gone five straight games with a point, and it's still plus money.
Yeah, I agree with both of those. Makes a lot of sense. The Zibanejad assist prop, it's been automatic. He said 14 straight games for him with an assist. And it's only minus 120 at DraftKings. So the price is very reasonable for Zibanejad. And for Lafreniere, too. Goal prop, assist prop, usually with the point prop, and you can go plus 100, but usually what I do is you could also bet the goal and the assist prop, plus 330, plus 200 for the goal and the assist prop, and there's a chance you could hit both, you know, where if the point prop's the same thing. You bet the goal and the assist prop, both of
that's
them.
That's what I did with Bennett last prop. Night.
Yeah, but sometimes I like going for the goal and the assist prop because you'll get the better payout. If it cashes in. So that's what I'd look at. I think Lafreniere over shots on goal too, because this guy's getting a ton of chances. And you're not seeing a big bump in his shots on goal prop yet either. It's over 2 shots on goal, minus 115 for him tonight. You know, and this is a guy. There you go. Andy's liking that. And this is a guy that has had a million chances in game form. Of course, I'm being not literally a million chances, but it felt like it. He had a ton of chances in game four, and Peter Laviolette said he could add even 3 or 4 goals in that game. Let me just bring up his current numbers here as far as Lafreniere with the shots on goal, because I'm pretty sure he's trending up with it. Yeah, 3-5-5 shots on goal in the last 3 games. So he had 5 shots in game and 5 shots in game 3 shots in game 4. And he's over 2 minus 115 tonight. So this is a very cheap price, in my opinion, for Lafreniere over shots on goal tonight here in this Hurricanes-Rangers game. Makes a lot of sense to me. I think for Carolina, there's a couple props I like for them. Vincent Trocheck, I'm going to go back to the well. Even though he finally didn't have a point the other night, Vincent Trocheck's been too red hot in these playoffs for the Rangers. Goal prop, assist prop, I'm going to go back to those. And then for Carolina, Gensel, Aho, it starts with those two guys. Aho's got to be huge. Gensel's got to be big. So goal prop, assist prop. I think Gensel over shots, Aho over shots. Carolina will shoot a ton of pucks again tonight. because the one thing they've been doing consistently in this series is shooting from anywhere. Rod Brindamore's preached that. They've had 57, 47, and 31 shots on goal as a team in the last three games. And that goes to Igor Shesterkin. I'm going back to it again tonight. Over saves for Igor Shesterkin. He's going to be peppered. It's another night of facing elimination for the Carolina Hurricanes. So his over saves prop, over 29.5 at minus 130. I'm in on that. I think he gets 30 saves tonight. And again, this is going to be a this has been a high volume shooting team, Carolina, the last three games, and especially now with, again, them facing elimination. So definitely, like I said, Shesterkin over saves. Definitely going to go back to the well with that in this game tonight. So there are a lot of props I like. And it sounds like Brett felt the same way. A lot of good player prop bets here in this game. Andy, how do you see it going tonight? Game five, Carolina, New York.
I want to see Carolina win. Like I was saying earlier, I like to see these little smaller markets win. But I'm not super confident in Anderson. I feel like he hasn't been phenomenal. And I think that showed when we talked and they went to Kochi to switch things up a little bit. And I don't think that shows a lot of confidence in your starter.
I didn't like the Lafreniere goal early in the third period. I will say that.
Nope. Was that from behind? Yeah. Yeah, that can't happen. But, I mean, hockey has some crazy bounces. And, man, New York's good. I want Carolina to win. I don't see it happening.
There you go. I think Andy's liking the Rangers here, minus 110 to finish things off. And like I said, I know Carolina finally got the job done. And for anyone that had them full game in game four, you finally cashed a ticket. But I know I'm going to get a strong start from Carolina because they have to, you know, facing elimination again. And I think they're going to actually have a little bit of positive momentum finally, getting that first win in the series. Take it with them on the road. I don't think this is going to be an easy game for the Rangers tonight. Carolina's finally got a little positive vibes now. They're going to start strong tonight, but I still don't fully trust this group for the full 60 minutes. To be honest, I lean Carolina full game, but I don't fully trust them for the full 60 minutes. And I do think there's going to be a little more urgency bump for the Rangers tonight. Finish it at MSG. Don't want to take an unnecessary trip back to Raleigh for game six.
No. That arena buzzes, and that plays a factor. I mean, you don't want to go back there. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Jacob Trouba over blocked shots. This has been a strong prop as well. 3.5. I think he's gone over that number in all but one or two games in the playoffs as far as blocked shots are concerned. So another good prop bet, like where the percentages are in your favor. Yeah. There's no doubt. Just like the Lafreniere over shots, the percentages are in your favor. There's no doubt. And I think Gensel, too, you're going to see him be someone that's going to rip that. But Gensel and Aho in particular. Svechnikov, we're waiting on him to get things rolling in this series. Like he only had two shots the other night. And I had an over 2.5 shots on goal prop with him the other night. He ended up with just two. I thought he was a little bit so passive in that game. He does block shots, John. I get it. Trouba didn't have his best night as far as handling the puck and positioning and all that. But he is still a grader in front of that net, you know, as far as blocking shots are concerned. So, but you're right. That was not his best game, game four the other night against the Carolina Hurricanes. So again, this is a great watch tonight. You know, the Rangers are going to be a little bit better, but you know, Carolina is going to once again bring that urgency to stay alive. So it should be interesting to see how that game plays out. Same with this one, West semifinal game four, the Dallas Stars and the Colorado Avalanche, the second game tonight. We've got Colorado minus 135 home favorites, 6.5 the total in this game. Dallas leading 2-1 in the series. Just a clinical textbook defensive effort from the Dallas Stars in game three on Saturday night. I mean, I count on one hand, maybe even one finger, how many great scoring chances Colorado had in the third period when they were down 2-1 the other night. That's how good that was defensively by the Dallas Stars. They went to the trap. They did. They went to the 1-3-1 in the neutral zone. And Peter DeBoer doesn't play that way usually. And Dallas doesn't usually play that way. But I think after blowing game one, when they had a 3-0 lead, they lost in overtime to Colorado, almost blowing it in game two. It was 4-0 Dallas. Colorado got it to 4-3. And then Dallas put it away into the empty net. I think after those two games, Peter DeBoer said, this time with a lead, we're shutting the shit down, okay? We're not running it running and gunning anymore with the lead. We're shutting it down. We're going to be very good and strong in our own end. We're going to clog up the neutral zone. We're going to take away Makar and Rantanen and McKinnon and their speed through the neutral zone to generate those rush chances. And it worked out perfectly for the Dallas Stars. It was just a clinical, surgical effort in the third period to bring that game home. And when there were chances, Jake Oettinger was there to shut the door. It's a great performance by Dallas. Can they duplicate it? I think the key for Colorado is you got to come out hot. The one thing about the first period is, look, Colorado did carry the play, but at the end of the day, they couldn't bury their chances. They looked a little out of sync. They had a couple early power plays in game one, Colorado, and they looked out of sync, and they didn't cash in on those chances. That's where they've got to improve tonight, because I get the sense that if they're trailing again to Dallas tonight, especially late in the game, Dallas not going to make it easy. And I think they found the formula of how to play with the lead against this Colorado team after game three, that they went to the 1-3-1 and it worked out well. So the key for Colorado is, look, you've got to get the lead. You've got to maybe even get a two-goal lead and force Dallas out of the play in that way. And that's when you can get your transition game going. That's where the rush chances start to open up, because if Dallas is trailing, they've got to open things up, you know, a little bit. So I do think in this game now, again, I think Colorado does have a stronger start. This is a must for them. Dallas is too good of a hockey team, in my opinion, to go down 3-1 and expect to win this series with the scene shifting to Dallas for game five after tonight. So for Colorado, this has to be a game where they start strong here tonight in this game. I'm going to go with the puck line for Colorado in the first period here tonight. You get a pretty good price with that as well. Colorado puck line minus -0.5 plus 174 at Pinnacle, or to win the first period. They know they have to get the first goal and have a good opening 20 minutes. I think they will here in this game, especially if they get – the thing is, Dallas played with fire in game three, where Colorado had multiple early power plays and they could not cash in. If they give those early power play chances to Colorado again, maybe a little bit more difficult to keep them off the scoreboard. And yes, Jonathan Drouin, as Dev mentions in the chat, yes, he might return, and they need him back, I think, because they've missed him. Jonathan Drouin had great chemistry with Nathan McKinnon. And remember, those two guys played with each other in junior way back in the day, Halifax with the Mooseheads way back in a decade ago. So they've got that chemistry. It's very important, again, for the Avs to have a strong start. So I like the first period puck line. I'm going to take Colorado team total over. I don't want minus 135 with Colorado. And as I've said many times, if they're going to win, why take minus 135 when you can bet Colorado team total over 3.5 at plus 110, plus 115, a better price? Because to me, if Colorado is winning, they're scoring at least 4 goals. Very rarely are they in a situation where they score 3 or less, especially in a home win. So for me, it's going to be that first period puck line and the Colorado team total over 3.5. And I'm also back to the well with the over trifecta here in this game as well. I know it was low scoring. We did finally see under tight checking in game three. But to me, the game flow says Colorado throws everything at Oettinger early, gets maybe that first goal, and then the game opens up more because Dallas can't sit back anymore like they did in the third period with great success. So the over trifecta, I think, to me, is back in play here with the over 1.5, both teams to score first period, and over 6.5. And keep in mind, too, there was only one game in the entire Colorado-Dallas playoff series a few years ago in the pandemic season that stayed under. Every other game went over the total. So there was only one under that whole series. And I think even though the last game stayed under, this one won't, especially if you think Colorado is going to strike early in the game and get that first goal, which I do think they've got a good chance to. And if I'm wrong here, guys, and Colorado doesn't start well and they lose this game and they go down 3-1, yeah, maybe we'll lose some bets in this individual game. But I've got Dallas, sizable position on Dallas to win the West and win the Stanley Cup. So, you know, that becomes there's a lot better chance of that, those two bets hitting and that happening if Dallas takes a 3-1 lead tonight in this series. So, no, I do think it's a clear Colorado spot. I'll bet Colorado accordingly, as I mentioned, first period puck line, team total, plus the over trifecta. But if this doesn't come through, we do have Dallas to win the West and the Cup. And it would be a huge step forward for the Stars if they can win back-to-back games here in Colorado. Brett, what do you think here? Game 4, Dallas, Colorado.
I'm in a similar mindset as you. that I think the onus is going to be on the Avalanche to start hot here. So I'm taking my bet, putting a little bit more on the puck line for Colorado in the first period, but a little more on the money line. It's only minus 130, which is pretty reasonable price. And
yeah, that's not bad. Yep.
You know, even going back to the Winnipeg series, they've only won a single first period going back to the Winnipeg series. So I'm being a little bit more cautious and using the money line more than the puck line. And if we lose those and Dallas is winning at the end of the first period, I'm going to live bet next goal for Colorado, second period Colorado, because every game of the series, they have come from multiple goals behind to get back into the game. So I'll use that first period as kind of a jumping off point for the rest of the game. The only other thing I'm on pregame is Rantanen to score a goal. Bednar said, you know, we've got to get more bodies in front of the net, in front of Ottinger. He's stopping what he can see. Who better than their net front guy on the power play? And I'll have my bargain bin from this game as well.
Yeah, if Drouin is back, and he's a game-time decision for tonight, but if Jonathan Drouin returns, they expect him to play with MacKinnon and Rantanen on that top line. It would be Big Val Nichushkin with Casey Mittelstadt and Arturi Lehkonen on the second line. Parise would drop to the third line with Wood and Colton, and then Duhaime, Trenin, and Cogliano still on the fourth line. So that would be the lineup configuration. As far as props in this game, I can't believe I lost the Nathan MacKinnon shots on goal prop in game three. I can't believe it.
It went backwards mid-game.
Yeah, it did, and they took a shot away from him, too, at one point. But he had four shots on goal, I bullshit you not, halfway through the fucking game. He has no shots on goal the rest of the game. You can't script it, and it was over 4.5. He finishes with 4. I'm going back to it tonight because he's got to shoot from anywhere tonight, MacKinnon. Over 4.5 for him. And by the way, Rantanen's the one that's got to get going. They asked Jared Bednar after game three, you know, you expected more from your top players. Looks like MacKinnon and Rantanen, even in the losing effort, they were more noticeable at a better night. Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, Mac really played well tonight. He said Mac. He didn't say shit about Rantanen. So that tells you all you need to know. The reporter tried to lump Rantanen into that praise, into that great the praise from the coach. Bednar said, yeah, Mac played pretty well tonight. Didn't say anything about Rantanen, and he's right to say that. Rantanen was not good, you know, and I know he did score, but it was just one of those garbage goals right there in the crease that he put in. But other than that, he was turning the puck over, a problem. I know Andy has never had that issue with a coach. The coach has never said, you know what, Mealy and this guy played well, and he mentions only the other guy. That's never happened to Andy, right? Never.
I'd be in the NHL if that was never happened to me.
Good. As far as other props, too, I want to mention not only MacKinnon, but Lehkonen is live. He's been good as far as props. I think it's a Big Val night. He's got to get going a little bit. So goal prop, assist prop for those two guys. Over shots on goal as well. I think Jake Ottinger over saves. He's going to be peppered tonight, I think, by Colorado. They got to, they'll be shooting the puck as much as they can. I definitely like the shot prop. Chris Tanev's a shot blocking machine. He had 3 in the first period alone. So Chris Tanev over block shots is a good block shot prop tonight in this game as well. And then for Dallas, Wyatt Johnston does shoot the puck more, and I find he's more noticeable on the road. I think you can go with over shots for him, goal and assist. Logan Stankoven, as long as he stays on the top line, he had so many chances to produce and finally did in game 3 with a 2-goal night playing with Roope Hintz and Jason Robertson. So I like props involving him. And the one that really stands out, because he's red hot, all these props right now are hitting for him, Tyler Seguin. He's gone over his shots on goal in like 6 or 7 straight games. He's gone over his shots prop. He's scored a goal now, I believe, in back-to-back games. He is feeling it, and he's always done well against Colorado for some reason. So Tyler Seguin, got to have some props for him on your card tonight. Shots on goal, score a goal, anything Tyler Seguin, because he is really starting to get going for Dallas, and he has a track record of great success against Colorado. Andy, what do you think here? A big West semifinal, game 4 in this series with Stars and Avs.
I think you guys have hit it on the head pretty good. I think Colorado's horses are going to be running tonight. I think if they get that early lead, the game's really going to open up. And obviously, Colorado's goaltending's been a little bit of a struggle this year, all year. So if it's a run-and-gun game, it's going to be it's going to be a fun game to watch. There's a lot of skill on both sides. So I'm excited for it. I think you guys are pretty, I think you guys are hitting the nail on the head right now.
You're muted.
Sorry about that. I'm looking at the game log right now for Tyler Seguin. Like, what the fuck is his shot on goal prop currently? Over 2.5 at like -115, -120 is what I'm seeing. Just over 2.5 for Seguin. Look at going back to the game 3 against Vegas. 4 shots, 3, and then after that. So from game 3 against Vegas to game 3 of Colorado in this round, this is the shots on goal he's had. 4-3-3, 4-3, 4-3-5. He's gone over 2.5 every game since game 3. It's over 2.5 -115. I mean, that's just, you got to bet that. Win or lose, you know, you can't turn that down. Maybe tonight's the night, you know, he gets one or two shots and falls short. But to me, you're playing the percentages there. And that's like, what, 7 or 8 straight where he's gone over 2.5 shots on goal. He scored 3 goals in the last 2 games of this series. So,
especially if Colorado goes up early.
Yeah. Absolutely. And have to open up more and have to shoot the puck more, Andy. 100%, you know, if they trail in this game. So absolutely. Any and all Tyler Seguin props to me worth a look here in this game tonight. Great stuff with Brett Skalski and Andy Mealy, our guest. Great show. Lots of great conversation about hockey and especially the playoffs in these 2 games tonight. Hit the like button, everyone on YouTube. We appreciate it very much. A reminder, Ice Guys Stanley Cup Playoffs live betcast tomorrow night, Patreon exclusive, Tuesday, May 14th. And we have another one on Thursday night as well, May 16th. Again, 7 p.m. Eastern, both betcasts. And the only way to join us on these betcasts is to sign up just $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. Again, you have access to our Patreon exclusive live Stanley Cup Playoff betcasts. We have our daily sides, totals, and player props posted on the page each and every day, and more bonus content. We're bringing back the Players Suite interview series in the off season as well, exclusively on the Patreon page. So make sure you sign up, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. And again, that betcast tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern. It'll be Bruins-Panthers game 5 and then Canucks-Oilers game 4 tomorrow night. So live betting, commentary, me, Alex, Matt Robinson, a bunch of guests, throw back a few beers. That's what it is. It's a bar and a pub vibe with every betcast. A lot of fun tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern. Looking forward to that. Again, if you want to join us on the betcast and tune in for it, the only place is to sign up as a Patreon member, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 a month. And check out the Ice Guys store as well, iceguys.myspreadshop.com. Get your gear and your merch there. We will wrap up the show in just a few moments with Bargain Bin Special of the Night and Best Bet, right after we hear from our great sponsor.
For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with a modern design that lets you go further and do more. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, complemented by an interior built with integrity. The Defender capability is legendary. Whether you're facing off-road challenges or harsh weather conditions, its durability has been tested to the extreme. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. And robust cargo capacity means more room for your gear. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Push what's possible with a vehicle made to go further. The Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
Texting between two different kinds of phones makes photos blurry, ugly, and security risky. Not just that, it also makes video calling, editing messages, or leaving a group nearly impossible. With WhatsApp, everyone can enjoy seamless messaging with the protection of end-to-end encryption. Streamline your messages across all devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with anyone you want. Click the banner or download now to learn more.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Or your grandma here with us, making carne asada.
She does love a cold Corona.
Throw in some dancing.
Oh, we can watch the game.
I'll drink to that.
So a backyard concert with football, food, dancing, and Corona?
And your grandma.
or we could keep it simple.
Simple is good. Want a Corona?
Thanks. Salud to the perfect day.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
All right, Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the site using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night. Brett, we'll start with you. What are you going for with the bargain bin tonight?
I'm going to that Colorado-Dallas game. And after last game, Bednar really put an emphasis on needing some more net front traffic in front of Jake Ottinger. So I'm going to go with a guy who's been to won a cup with the Lightning, is a net front guy on the second of the power play. I'm going to go with Ross Colton to score a goal tonight at plus 500 for my bargain bin special.
Wow, I like the choice. A little off the grid, but a great price. Someone that's got the potential to rise up, has been in the playoffs before with the Tampa Bay Lightning before he came to Colorado. So Ross Colton, plus 500. For Brett Skalski with his bargain bin special of the night. Now, Andy's not versed in betting like we are, but I'll still give him the opportunity. Is there a player you have in mind to score a goal tonight? Maybe down the board, you know, off the grid a little bit, off the radar. If you have one in mind, just throw out a name and I'll look off up the price. Radar. We'll see if it fits.
How about Jordan Martinook?
I've gone with him before. For the bargain bin. I think actually it was last game, I think, in the Carolina. And you'll definitely get him at a good price. So we'll go with that for Andy Mealy. Plus 570, Jordan Martinook for the Carolina Hurricanes to score a goal. There we go for Andy with his bargain bin special of the night. That's one heck of a price. I'm going to the guy we just talked about quite a bit in the last game. Hopefully I'm not late on this one, but he scored 3 goals in the last 2 games. For the Dallas Stars, he always seems to make an impact and score against this team more often than not. Tyler Seguin for the Dallas Stars, plus 340 at FanDuel. That is going to be my bargain bin special for tonight. I got a hard act to follow after cashing with Matias Ekholm for Edmonton, plus 700 last night. But we'll see if Tyler Seguin can keep the streak going, plus 340. For him with my bargain bin special of the night. All right, best bets to wrap things up. Brett, what do you like for best bet?
We're going to go to Carolina Rangers game at MSG. My best bet is going to be the first period over 1.5. I think Carolina comes out firing and equal to the task with the MSG crowd behind them. I think the Rangers also give some pushback. I could see this being a both teams a score, but to be a little bit safer, we're going to go first period over 1.5 in that game.
All right, first period over 1.5 for Brett Skalski with the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers for a best bet. Again, Andy, with yours, you could just be general, team you like to win, whatever. What would you make tonight your best pick, if you will?
You know, just because in my heart I want Carolina to win, even though I said New York earlier, I'm going to put some good juju out there for Carolina.
And the price is minus 110 with that. I could see why he's so supportive of Carolina. When you can live in a state with that gorgeous background and backdrop and scenery, no wonder he loves the hockey team, too, that resides there. Well, at least in the northern part of that state. Yeah. He's in the South Kakalaki part. But Andy's not giving up faith with Carolina. Minus 110 for his best bet. And then my best bet, I'm going to go with Colorado team total over 3.5 tonight. Obviously, they were 1 goal. That's not going to get the job done. in game three. And look, if this loses and Colorado loses the game, I've got Dallas futures in my pocket. But I do feel this is a Colorado spot. Losing two straight home games is just Dallas is capable of beating them twice here. A great road team, but don't think it's going to happen tonight. I do think Colorado bounces back strong, and we'll go the team total route for the Avs tonight. Over 3.5, plus 110, Colorado team total for my best bet for this Monday slate. Great stuff. Before we sign off and end the show, Andy, just again, great job. Thanks for doing this. Hope you had fun. Hope you enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. It was a great time.
No doubt. Awesome show. And Brett, great job as always. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms. For Brett Skalski and for our special guest, Andy Mealy, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Monday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we'll be back with you tomorrow for a huge Tuesday, the Daily Show at 2 p.m. Eastern, and our Patreon live betcast tomorrow night. Looking forward to that. So join us again on Tuesday for another edition of the Ice Guys.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.